Good morning. Happy Mother's Day to all the parents or mothers and grandmothers, and frankly to all the parents and grandparents in our church. Raising children has always been a challenge, and I think even more so in this day and age where morals and standards are so shifting. And so I think it is an important time to talk about what it means to raise children in a way that is pleasing to God. When I first became a Christian, I read through the New Testament, and while I didn't understand everything I read, I remember feeling like I wanted to follow Jesus with all my heart, because I read about the disciples that were turning the world upside down with the good news of Jesus. And then I started reading the Old Testament and found the storyline so fascinating. But I also realized that I had a hard time with some of the Old Testament characters. The Bible wasn't hesitant to tell the story truthfully, and some of the flaws that I saw in our heroes bothered me. Then as I read about the children of our heroes, it was even more discouraging. I mean, Jacob's sons did some horrific things. Eli's sons were wicked. David's sons did some really bad things. And many of the kings of Israel and Judah had sons that were more wicked than their fathers. And it felt like the following generation, they were unable to be faithful to God. Now, I have to admit, I was a young boy then, and it was a lot easier to be critical about parents or fathers without really knowing what it was like to be a parent. But I always felt this disconnect that the following generation after a godly parent, some of them were not following after God. And so this morning I'd like to take a look at a passage that I think speaks to people about what it means to raise children in the Lord. And it's a passage that I think is familiar to all people. And I hope that this message will apply to each one of us. I think that if you hope to be a parent one day, this message is for you. If you are a parent, this message is for you. If you hope to be a grandparent or are one, this message is for you. And if you have any influence on children, this message is for you. I say this because I think that when we look at ourselves and see ourselves as we've gone through life, even if you're older, you'll know some of the things that were good and helpful for your life, and you'll see some of the things that were not necessarily great. I think many of us as parents might say we didn't even know what we were doing as parents. I heard people say things like this: my parents had no clue about raising children. Or my parents did just what their parents did. Or I did what my parents did. Or I saw things good in my parents and I tried to emulate that. Or I saw some things that were not good in my parents and I wanted to make sure I didn't do that. And so there's all kind of thoughts about parenting and raising children. And the Bible does give a lot of attention to this. In Proverbs 1, 8 through 9, it says this: "Listen, my son, to your father's instruction, and do not forsake your mother's teaching." He's saying that it's important that the fathers give instructions and the mothers give teaching, and it helps to help you to grow and flourish in this life. So I would just want to take a look at Proverbs 22:6, which I think most people are very comfortable with. In the NIV, it says this: "Start children off on the way they should go, and even when they are old, they will not turn from it." Now, that doesn't sound like what most people have heard. So I've taken the ESV translation, which is probably more familiar to people, and I'd like to share from that. It says, "Train up a child in the way he should go. Even when he is old, he will not depart from it." So I'd like to take a little look at this verse and break it down and share some thoughts on it. I know that we have some expectant mothers, and I thought this would be an appropriate time since it's Mother's Day to share a little bit about this. I do want to say this. This is important to understand about the book of Proverbs. It is a collection of impactful, wise sayings that communicate general truths, not necessarily promises. A proverb is brief and it is poetic so that it is memorable. It enables it to be handed down to one another from generation to generation, and it provides a form of wise and moral grounding. It's certain things like, you know, we tell our kids, haste makes waste, something that is easy to remember, but it communicates a general truth. But I want to make sure that this is the caveat, that this is not a promise. It's a general truth. It generally works. But when you are talking about people who make their own choices, there is no guarantee. And this verse has been a source of hope for many and for some shame and guilt. So I just want to look at it and break it down. Let's look at that first line there. It says, train up a child. Train, hanak, the Hebrew word, to train, to dedicate, to inaugurate. Now notice something. Who is being addressed here? Is it the child or the parent? It's obvious it's the parent, right? That's why a lot of times we will say this when we dedicate children to God. We say it's a child dedication, but really it's more of a parental dedication. It's more of a parental commitment to training their child. And if you think about this, look at in there. There is a hidden assumption in this passage. Now think about this. If you were to go to anyone for training, let's say for private lessons, I know Kenny used to give private lessons in hockey. There's private lessons in golf. There's private lessons in batting, pitching, piano, SAT testing, photography. If you were to go to somebody for private lessons, for training, what would you expect from that person? You would expect that person that you are going to has expertise, has knowledge, has experience, has an understanding of what they are doing, and has a plan to improve your skills and understanding. So if that's the case, then there has to be an understanding that training is not a one-and-done event, but a long-term process. It requires dedication, and in fact, the four other times that this word is used is translated dedicated. It requires a beginning, but it is a process that requires a continuous form and commitment. I like this thing that somebody wrote. They said, an intentional, sustained, God-dependent shepherding of our hearts as they grow into adulthood. This is what training is like. This is not a passive calling for dads and mom. Training involves more than instruction. It also includes living out our lives in front of our children, modeling godly morals. You know, it requires us to be active and not passive. Training somebody involves a commitment, and it is an active commitment. It is not passive. Children don't just grow up on their own without guidance. And if they're left to themselves, then there can be some disastrous things. And that's why it involves an active participation of a parent. And that's why in Deuteronomy chapter 6, this is what Moses says. He says, these commandments that I give you today are to be on your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home, when you walk along the road, when you lie down, and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. There's just this idea that the parents are going to be impressing upon their children when they walk, when they talk, when they're walking along in the roads, when they're sitting down to eat. They're constantly helping them to understand these instructions. It's a consistent application and reinforcement. And until your training becomes a part of you, training may start with an external force, But through training, it becomes an internal motivation. You are preparing for what you have been training for. So if you are a trainer, a coach, do you have a goal in mind? Do you have an end result in mind? As a parent, what is that end result that you have in mind? What is the goal of a parent? I'm glad you asked. Because, really, this is something I've been thinking about for a long time. I thought about it when I was young and became a parent for the first time. And as I've walked through life and I've seen other parents. Yeah, many people, if you ask them, what is the goal of a parent? Many parents would say this, that their goal or their desire is all they want is for their children to be happy. But happiness is a byproduct of a person who has meaning and purpose in life. So this is my definition of a goal of any parent. Any parent. To raise a child to be a loving, responsible, wise person of character who contributes to his or her family, friends, and community in a healthy, positive way. And the goal of a believing parent is everything I just said, and also, most importantly, to help their child be a follower of Jesus. To raise a child to be a loving, responsible, wise person of character who contributes to his or her family, friends, and community in a healthy, positive way. When I say loving, I think it just communicates that it's about caring about others, not being self-absorbed, aware of others, having a healthy self-awareness without being self-centered, a loving person. A responsible person means owning up to your choices, not blaming others, not rationalizing your responsibility away. It means you understand choices and consequences and you accept responsibility for your choices and decisions. Wise means you see the immediate and you see a bigger picture. You think things through. You connect the dots so you understand situations. You grow in knowledge, but more importantly, you grow in wisdom and understanding, becoming an insightful person. I add person of character, because it means that you have integrity, that you are not duplicitous. You are not two people. You aren't somebody that acts a certain way when people are watching you, and when people aren't watching you, you act another way. That you have integrity. And why I say a person is loving, responsible, wise person of character who contributes, that word contributes infers that a person gives and not just takes from people. They are generous with their time, money, resources. And they add to the community, to the family, to other people. So keep that in mind, that we are looking to try to grow our children to be loving, responsible, wise person of character who contributes to their community. Now, it says, train a child. This word child, na'er, this Hebrew word, is used of little children, even young men and lad. Joseph was called a na'er when he was 17. And when the cupbearer is talking to Pharaoh and speaking about Joseph, he talks about this Hebrew youth, that same word. And Joseph was probably pretty close to 30 years old. The point that I'm trying to make is that when you have children, you are watching their lives all along. You aren't just saying, okay, well, they hit adolescence or they hit a certain point and hands off. You are, if you have a great relationship with a child, if you are with them and training them and working with them, you're going to be with them all along for a long time. I don't think that you would ever quit trying to pour wisdom and insight into a person's life. The second part here, train a child in the way he should go. This is the passage that I think some people have a little controversy with, because that phrase, in the way he should go, is a very difficult phrase. Train up a child in the way he should go. Some people think it should be train up a child in his own way. There's a big difference here now. Train up a child in the way he should go. And some people think train up a child in his own way. And it has to do with different nuances about translations and passages. I know it's difficult to always capture the intent of a translation. Some languages have words that don't quite communicate in the other language that it's being translated into for word for word. I mean, my mom spoke Japanese, and she would use some words, Japanese words, and I used to always try to translate some of those Japanese words, but there's a word, kurushi, that I had no way of translating it. There was no one word that captured everything about that. And so there had to be different words for that. And it doesn't just, you know, this is why scholars debate over the intended meaning of some of these words. So there's kind of a thought that it's train up a child in the way he should go, in the way he should go. And then there's some people that say train up a child in his own way. And here's what I would say. I like both of those translations. I think it speaks to something that's important. When it uses that word, in the way he should go, it speaks about a general path or way. And when it speaks about in his own way, it speaks of a specific path or way. The Hebrew word is derek for this word way. It's essentially a metaphor of a road or a path. And it describes a path or road that describes a manner of life. And the book of Proverbs is full of this word, way. There's, and it's this word is translated path or way. This is in Proverbs, it says path of justice, the way of his saints. It'll talk about the way of evil, the paths of the upright, the ways of darkness, way of the good, way of wisdom, path of wicked. Way of wicked is like deep darkness. Leave your simple ways and walk in the way of insight. Walk in integrity. Walk with integrity. Make your path straight, not crooked. Way of good sense. Now, it's important to understand in this general thing, it applies to all people, all children, all individuals. It contrasts the difference between like life and death, good or evil, godly or wicked, wise or foolish, lacking insight or having insight, with God or without God. It's this general path that says when you walk with God, these are the things that happen. And if you don't walk with God, these are the things that happen. Darkness instead of light. And the question is what path will you choose? It's kind of like one or the other kind of a thing, but it's general. And it speaks in this path that you walk with God of the wisdom, the insight, the light, the goodness, the uprightness. But if you walk away from God, you walk in darkness, you walk in foolishness, you walk in these different kind of things that harm you. But I also think that it's important that it talks about walk in the way, train up a child in his own way, because it speaks of a specific way. In Proverbs 30, 18 and 19, it says this. There are three things that are too amazing for me, four that I do not understand. And he gives us this metaphor. Well, it's not even a metaphor. It's something to ponder. He says, in verse 19 of chapter 30, he says, the way of an eagle in the sky, the way of a snake on a rock, the way of a ship on the high seas, in the way of a man with a young woman. So he says, there are three things that are too amazing for me, four that I do not understand. And he's talking about the way of an eagle. An eagle, how it soars, how wondrous it is. And then he talks about the way of a snake on the rock. Now, I hate snakes. I absolutely hate snakes. But it's amazing how a snake slithers and moves. And it's unique. It's just so unique. And the way of a ship on the high seas. A ship can be on the high seas, and yet it can stir itself. And it's like a bigger thing, but a rudder can just stir that thing. It's amazing that way. And of course, it talks about the way of a man with a young woman. And romance can be done in so many different ways, right? Nowadays, with all these wedding proposals, they're always filmed, and they've got to outdo each other. There's different ways of a young man with a woman. But the point is this, that you have children that are one-of-a-kind individual. We don't treat them the same because they are not the same. We treat our children fairly but individually. Have you ever looked at families and thought to yourself, they have three children. They have the same father, same mother, three children, and three children look so different. How do they get raised by the same parents, same environment, same house, and they're so very different? It's because God made them all unique. Every child, every person is one of a kind individual. That each child is a one of a kind person. God has deposited something unique in all of them. I remember when my oldest son Jared was 2 years old, and I was talking with him one day, and we were talking, and he fell asleep, and I was carrying him to his bed, and he was on my shoulder, and I remember thinking, there's something, two-year-old kid just lying on your shoulder. I remember thinking, I don't think that I could love another child as much as I love Jared. And that scared me. It scared me about having another child because I thought, I don't know if I could love any child better than this, and I don't want to do injustice to the second child. And then Jonathan came along, and he was very different than Jared. But I remember one day thinking, my heart just overflowed with love for him. And I understood that God can give us the capacity to love fully and love differently. And by the way, it happened the same way with Kenny, in case people were wondering about Kenny. But some children are musically oriented. Some are athletically oriented. Some are book smart. Some are street smart. Some are sensitive. Some are thick-skinned. Some are outgoing. Some are introverted. Some are always on the move, and others are contemplative. Some are very social, and others can delight in reading a book for hours upon end. Some kids can develop skills in so many areas, while others seem to know how to focus on one particular area. And these different attributes that are given to our children are given by God. There is a place for their abilities and gifts in this world. We have to help them discover their passions, their abilities, their skills, and their competencies. This is why it says, train up a child in his own way. That there are things that are unique about that child. And there are things that they need to know that they should know about their ways. There are general things that we want to deposit wisdom, insight, understanding. Understanding that understands big picture things. These are important, but then it's also important to help a child discover the things that they are naturally able to do. We help them discover their passions, their abilities, their skills, and their competencies. We encourage behaviors that will allow them to develop them. Now, there's an important thing to understand. Sometimes we think that a child is like amoral or something. But really, a child is part of the human race. A child has a fallen human nature. And that's why it's very important for us to take children and have them under the influence of God. Character traits under godly influence helps one flourish as a human being. Character traits under the sinful nature causes self-centeredness and helps a child think that the world revolves around them. We have to help children see a big picture, the enduring qualities of inclining toward God's persuasion instead of a selfish persuasion. Now think about this as an example, okay? Someone could be very stubborn, and stubbornness can lead to obstinate, prideful, unreasonable people. But stubbornness can also lead to a person with resolve, endurance, perseverance, and faithfulness. One under the influence of God, one under the influence of the sinful nature. And that's why it's so important that we help a child develop and grow, that we help them understand discipline, self-control. Because Proverbs 22:15 says this, "Folly is bound up in the heart of a child, but the rod of discipline will drive it far away." That discipline can drive folly away in a child. Some things start with an external influence and work its way into internal motivation. That's what discipline does. I have talked with so many high school students about their plans after high school. I've shared this before, but the most common response when I ask them what do they plan to do is, "I don't know." And I tell them, if they don't know where they are going, then how can they get there? It's like jumping into a cab, telling the cab driver, "I don't know where I'm going, but take me somewhere." That could be the most expensive ride of your life. So as a parent, we have a responsibility to try to help them understand the goal to be this loving, responsible person of character, wise, that contributes. We have this important responsibility to help them. And one of the things that we have to help them understand is trajectories. We need to help them understand that the choices that we make now affect the decisions that we make down the road. There's a trajectory to everybody's life. The things that they do now affect them down the road. And it's important for them to understand that. I remember one time when I got in front of Golf Simulator, I hit a ball, and it says, "You're offline 3%. 3 degrees, excuse me. 3 degrees doesn't sound like a lot, but when you hit it 300 yards like I do, no, just joking. When you hit it, I don't want to say how far, but when you hit it, 3 degrees down the line is a lot further down the line than when you start off. And that's why it is so important for us to have the right trajectories, that we help children understand that the choices that they make now affect them down the line. It will limit their options if they do some bad decisions, but when they make good decisions, it gives them more possibilities. I want to say this too. People develop habits. Children develop habits. Habits are just something that becomes part of your life. And you develop habits, whether good or bad, you develop habits. It's important that we try to develop good habits. I remember when I was in high school, I played football, and after the football game on Friday nights, we would usually have a kind of an after party, and we would gather together our friends and everybody, and we'd stay up till 2, 3 o'clock in the morning. After that, we'd go home, and I'd be sleeping. And my mom would wake me up about 7 o'clock, 7:30 in the morning, and say, "How can you sleep when your father's out there working hard, mowing the lawn?" And I'd look at her and say, "Maybe because I played football and I stayed up all night till 3 o'clock." And she said, "Well, if you can do that, then stay asleep." Well, I couldn't. And so to this day, I have this habit of waking up early. I don't know if it's a good or bad habit, but I wake up early because of this thing that my mom put in my life. That's why it's important to understand that there are things that happen in a child that last for a long time. And you have to understand trajectories, that you want a child to be this loving, responsible, wise person of character that contributes to the people around them. All right, let me get to that last phrase. Train a child in the way he should go, or in his own way. Train a child in his own way. Even when he is old, he will not depart from it. Now, again, I'm just wanting to make a reminder that this is a general truth. It is not a promise. Because it cannot be a promise when you're talking about people who make their own choices. There is no guarantee. But I think that what it reminds us of, something that is so important, it reminds us why our children drive us to our knees. We need to be in prayer. Think about this. We need to be in prayer for our kids, our children, our adult children. And here's the question I would ask you. What would it mean for your kids to gain the whole world, all the success of this world, but lose their soul? What would it gain? What would it mean to you if your children gained the whole world, all the successes of this world, but lost their soul? That is why we pray for our children. And I would say this. There are no perfect parents. There are no perfect moms. There are no perfect fathers. We all need grace in our lives. Grace is that word, that undeserved favor. We all need grace in our lives. I'm grateful that my wife and my children have shown me so much grace. They just throughout their lives, they've shown me so much grace. But the one who has shown me the greatest grace is the Lord our God. When you understand that Christ, even when we didn't really want a part of him in our lives, he still pursued us. That he had a love for us. That it said God so loved the world that he gave his only son. This idea that he loved us so much. But it's incredible that even when he loved us so much, we still turned our back. And he still pursued us. That's the kind of grace that doesn't give up. And I would say this. If a child departs from the things that you have tried to train him up to be, remember that God is not through with them yet. I once was counseling with a child, two boys, and I was incredibly shocked almost when they said to me that they have never ever heard their parents say they are sorry. I think that if we as parents, as we as individuals, we as influencers of others, don't model taking responsibility, it will be very hard for the people we are influencing to take responsibility. I love stories and movies about reconciliation. Reconciliation in movies is something we all love to see. There's something redemptive about it. But have you ever noticed in reconciliation in movies, it usually begins with a person seeing their part in a conflict and taking responsibility for it, and then apologizing to the other person? That's the way we can make a difference, that we take responsibility for what our lives have been like. If you're a parent today that may feel like, oh, well, I didn't do a great job, well, take responsibility and go and talk to your child and say, hey, I'm sorry, I didn't do it as good as I should have. But I feel like God's still working, and it can bring reconciliation. It can bring redemption. Let's be people that try to walk in the ways of God. Let's model it for our children, and let's help and train our children to walk in the ways they should and walk in their own particular unique ways that they are. And we can help them to become responsible, loving, responsible people that are wise and people of character that contribute to other people and follow Jesus with all their heart. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I know that sometimes on Mother's Day and Father's Day, people feel that lack of, they didn't do a great job, or I think we all feel that in many ways, but we also lean into your grace, Lord. We lean into you and ask that you would watch over our children, that you would help the young adults that are going to be parents. Help them to be great trainers of their children. Help them to know what they're trying to get their children to be at, where they can thrive, that they are loving, responsible, wise, people of character, that are giving, generous with their time and their resources. Lord, would you help us to be people that follow after you with all our hearts? In Christ's name we pray. Amen.